No, there's two. Say the funeral mass for the late president Monday.
Alan, as we look back on the spectacularly successful career of John Kennedy, now ended so prematurely and tragically, and also on the career of Lyndon Johnson, we can't help being struck by the narrow margin by which at two critical moments in their careers they succeeded. In the case of John Kennedy, of course, everybody remembers that he won the presidency by a margin of only 113,000 in the popular vote, which was just a very small fraction of a percentage point. In the case of Lyndon Johnson, who had already run once for the Senate and lost, he ran again in 1948. Now, in this case, he faced a number of formidable opponents. One of them, Governor Coke Stevenson, who was a well-known, popular politician, and Governor Stevenson had gone through 30 years without a defeat. Stevenson led in the Democratic primary in Texas, this is Governor Coke Stevenson in 1948, but failed of a clear majority, so a runoff was necessary. Johnson, who ran second in the first primary, won over Governor Coke Stevenson in the runoff primary by a margin of 87 votes out of a million votes cast. The result actually was in doubt for several days, and there were court fights on the issue. But in the end, Lyndon Johnson came out victorious. If he had not won those 87 votes, if the result had gone the other way, obviously he would not be where he is right now. And now, a further reaction on politics. We're going to hear from Representative Bob Wilson, the Republican Congressional Campaign Chairman.
There can be no question that politics on both Republican and Democrat side will be in limbo until next year. There will be no more politicking until certainly the primary time next year.
That was Representative Wilson, chairman of the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee. A note on Johnson's personal life. He met his future wife at a hearing of the Texas Railroad Commission in Austin, Texas, on September 12, 1934. She was Claudia Taylor, but everyone called her Lady Bird, and everybody still calls her Lady Bird. The nickname stuck, and the congressional directory listed her maiden name not as Claudia, but as Lady Bird Taylor. She and the future president were married late in 1934. Their first child was named Linda Bird Johnson, and their second, Lucy Baines Johnson. The new president once said, "We all have the same initials, so we can all use the same baggage for traveling." Mrs. Johnson comes from a wealthy family, and the family owned a radio and television station in Austin, Texas. Mr. Johnson early gained a reputation in Washington for hard work. The slogan that soon became part of the future president's tradition was, "He gets the job done." His wife once remarked that Lyndon acts as if there was never going to be a tomorrow. Tomorrow has finally come. Alan?
Dallas, I think that the reaction that we have been getting from the other side of the Iron Curtain is particularly interesting. And we've just received some new notes on how the people in Russia have expressed sorrow at this tragedy this afternoon. The Reuters dispatch that has just filed in says that Russians on snow-swept Red Square in the heart of Moscow openly expressed deep regret at the assassination of President Kennedy. One of the guards at Lenin's red and black granite mausoleum, a Red Army captain, said, "We very much regret this. As we say, each country has its villains." And then he went on to say that recently, in spite of ideological differences, there had been strivings on both sides to improve relations. And Kennedy was of the view that we should have closer links. It is very sad that assassins fell upon him. The reaction of a Red Army captain on guard duty at Lenin's mausoleum in Moscow. An engineer in a broad-brimmed hat and heavy overcoat said, "The whole Soviet people are sorry. We consider that Kennedy was able to regulate things in dangerous moments. We regarded him as a very positive and highly esteemed his activities." And one of a group of young male students standing near St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow at the end of the Kremlin Square summed it up when he said, "It is bad for the American people and for our people. What might have happened," he asked, "if there had been another president at the time of Cuba?" Moscow radio played funeral music after announcing Mr. Kennedy's death.
Alan, Cardinal Cushing, Richard Cardinal Cushing, the Archbishop of Boston, has now recorded a statement of sympathy and regret at the death of the president, and we're going to switch now for that to Vin Maloney of station WEEI in Boston.
Richard Cardinal Cushing, Roman Catholic Archbishop of Boston, will offer a low mass of requiem for President John F. Kennedy at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington next Monday at 1 o'clock. The Cardinal said tonight, there will be no eulogy. The Cardinal told me he had been in communication with the White House, but did not know at this time whether the President would be laid to rest in Washington or in his native Brookline, Massachusetts, where his prematurely born son, Patrick Bouvier Kennedy, was buried last September. Cardinal Cushing was a lifelong friend of the Kennedy family. He married the then Senator Kennedy and Jacqueline Bouvier at Hammersmith Farms in Newport, Rhode Island in 1961. He christened the Kennedy children and delivered the invocation at the president's inaugural. The cardinal was gaunt and deeply moved, heartbroken, he described it, as he issued this statement tonight on the president's death.
Every inhabited section of this earth is in sorrow over the terrible tragedy that deprived our country of one of its greatest presidents and the world of one of its most courageous leaders. My heart is broken with grief over his martyrdom for the cause of a free world. My prayers go forth in sympathy to his dear wife, his beloved father and mother, and all the members of his family. Their sorrow is beyond words to describe. I shall visit them on tomorrow at Hyannisport. John F. Kennedy, known to me for a lifetime, loved by me as a devoted friend, has laid down his life for us all. Greater love than this no man hath. Since the day he assumed the office of the presidency of the United States, he exemplified in his life and especially in his death the title of his famous book, Profiles in Courage. In his inaugural address, he stated he would not shrink from his responsibilities. He was faithful to that pledge unto death. Truly, he was an inspiring profile in courage. It is not possible for me to comment any further. Deep is my sorrow in the loss of a great friend, and heavy my compassion for all his loved ones who have silently carried, unknown to multitudes, some of the heaviest crosses of life. I pray that the martyrs of all times may lead him into paradise, and the good Lord may help us to appreciate and profit by the lessons of dedication, courage, and loyalty that John F. Kennedy bequeathed to us. I pray especially that the youth, not only of our own country, but of the entire world, will learn a lesson from his courageous plans, policies, and work for the freedom and equality which his youthful vigor had labored so hard and so earnestly for all nations. May he rest in peace.
This is Vin Maloney in Boston, returning you to CBS News, New York.
It has been announced in Washington that a gun will thunder each half hour from dawn to dark tomorrow at each Army and Marine Corps base to render honor to the late President Kennedy, the Commander-in-Chief.
We will return to the CBS Radio Network after these special announcements from the WCCO Radio Department of News and Public Affairs. It's 6 minutes before six, RCCO temperature 29 degrees. These are cancellations for tonight and some indication of things that will continue and go on. The Minnesota-Wisconsin football game scheduled for tomorrow has been called off. All Dad's Day activities at the university have been canceled. The Vikings-Detroit Lions game scheduled for Sunday will be played. Other postponements. The Hinckley Minnesota High School play for tonight postponed. The House of Charity card party to be held at the Unity House in Minneapolis this evening has been canceled. The performance of the all-school play at the Centennial High School in Circle Pines, Minnesota for this evening canceled. The Elk River Monticello basketball game scheduled for tonight canceled. The game was to have been held at Elk River. The production of Romeo and Juliet at the Robbinsdale High School will go on tonight at 8 o'clock as scheduled. Other cancellations, the card party sponsored by the Lauderdale Civic Club at the Lauderdale Civic Hall, scheduled for 8 tomorrow night, has been canceled. Wilmer High School versus Bloomington, a game to be played at Wilmer tonight, has been canceled. The Interfraternity Council at the university has announced that all social events planned for tomorrow night in the fraternity and sorority system at the university have been canceled. A parent-teacher meeting at Bloomington Lutheran School, canceled tonight. Mille Lacs County 4-H Award Program scheduled for tomorrow night at Mille Lacs, Minnesota High School, canceled. A dance schedule at New Ulm High School tonight, canceled. Dance of the 200 Dance Club scheduled for tomorrow night at the Thunderbird Motel, canceled. Cub Scout Pack 367 of Groveland School in Minnetonka Village, canceled for tonight. Tomorrow night's dance of the University of Minnesota Law School, canceled. The basketball game, Shakopee High School versus St. Anthony, canceled tonight. The Teenage Dance at Eden Valley Community Building, sponsored by the Explorer Scout, canceled for tonight. The Rockford School Drama Play, scheduled for tonight, has been canceled. The Elmwood-Boyceville basketball game, scheduled for Elmwood tonight, canceled. Other cancellations, the PTA meeting of the Pilgrim Lutheran School tonight. The Safari Teenage Club will be closed tonight at Mendota. Tonight's Olympic hockey game at Rochester has been called off. However, the Omaha at St. Paul hockey game tonight will be played as scheduled. Now other cancellations, the Stillwater High School wrestling match for tonight, the basketball game for tomorrow night both postponed, the St. Helena's Church Men's Club bingo game canceled this evening, the athletic jamboree at Renville, Minnesota scheduled tonight has been canceled. The South Grove Mrs. J.C.'s information program on the mentally retarded postponed until December 2nd. St. Paul Wilson High School's play Harvey, scheduled for tonight, has been postponed. The St. Paul Jewish National Fund 60th anniversary dinner, scheduled for Sunday night, has been postponed. The faculty basketball game at Osseo High School called off. The Fun Fest at Pillsbury School in northeast Minneapolis canceled. The dance at Prior Lake High School canceled. The school play at Columbia Heights Senior High, both tonight and tomorrow night, canceled. The Community Youth Center program at Elam Baptist Church in northeast Minneapolis canceled tonight. Tomorrow night's Navy League dinner for fathers and sons scheduled for Kauffman Union on the university campus has been canceled. The KCYO dance to be held at 6th and Hennepin tonight has been canceled. The Shakopee Knights of Columbus annual benefit dance scheduled tonight for Carver Pavilion in Carver has been postponed. The B'nai B'rith Youth Organization of Minneapolis' annual Sweethearts Dance at the Cap Tower scheduled tomorrow night has been postponed. The University of Minnesota theater performances tonight and Saturday night have been canceled. The dance tonight at the Isaac Walton League in North Minneapolis canceled. The Upper Midwest Indian Center powwow scheduled for tomorrow night at Unity House in North Minneapolis canceled. The St. Paul Monroe High School dance scheduled tonight has been canceled. A dance and turkey raffle sponsored by the Isaac Walton League postponed until Tuesday. The game between New Richmond High School and Durand High School has been canceled. The St. Paul Jewish National Fund 60th anniversary dinner scheduled to be held Sunday at 6:30 at the Temple of Aaron in St. Paul has been canceled. Now, quickly, a look at the weather. Some snow flurries. The only heavy snowfall predicted is in Wisconsin, where there may be up to 4 inches near Lake Superior tonight. The Twin Cities forecast diminishing cloudiness and much colder tonight. Tomorrow, fair and colder. Occasional cloudiness and a little colder tomorrow night. The low tonight, 12 above. The high tomorrow, 20. The low tomorrow night, 5 above. 29 right now, a minute and a half before 6. Studios, Minneapolis, St. Paul at 830 WCCO. WCCO continues its reports of the events following the assassination of President Kennedy. With more information, we hear Winston Burnett in Rome from the CBS Radio Network.
Close to President Kennedy, partly because he was recently here, and they were expecting to see him again next year, along with Mrs. Kennedy, partly because they had great sympathy for his youth and for his courage. They admired him very much, and also I think they felt a special tie to him because this is a Catholic country. So there was shock in the streets. You could overhear the comments of people as they went into the coffee bars and cafes and came out of shops and so on. They all commented on it. And I should say that their reaction with regard to the motives for the crime were all the same. Everyone in the streets immediately assumed that this was the act of, as they said, those racists.
Well, of course, that may not be a logical assumption. There's no indication yet of what the motive was.
I understand.
As we were reporting
that
a few moments ago, the assassin has not yet been caught.
I understand that.
Well, here in the United States, Winston, the reaction has been one of absolute stupefaction. I don't believe that anybody actually can find the words to express his horror at it. It's one of those things that, as we were all saying, it just seems incredible, impossible.
Also,
and I suppose that's the way you feel over there.
It's exactly the same way. I think the human reaction everywhere has been the same. And as the night has worn on here, this feeling of greater anxiety, I think, as the first shock, not has worn off, but as the first shock wave, so to speak, has passed, then a certain anxiety has come to the surface. And I think political men responsible for political affairs in Europe and Italy and in other countries are expressing their anxiety in very much the same way as the ordinary man in the street is.
Yes.
They ask the same questions of what will happen now, where will the world go now, what will happen to East-West relations.
Winston, Dan Shore was saying from Bonn a few minutes ago that Chancellor Earhart is planning to come to Washington for the president's funeral. Is there any indication there that President Senyi might do the same thing?
No, there has been no indication yet of that. None whatever. President Senyi has sent a message to Washington. He has sent a message to Mrs. Kennedy. He has made a statement of his own. He's also announced that either tomorrow or the day after, perhaps, a solemn funeral mass will be held at the Quirinal Palace, which is his residence, being the White House of Italy. But there's been no indication as to whom Italy would send to Washington to attend the state funeral.
I see. Winston, thank you very much for that report. We'll probably be back to you again later on. That was Winston Burdett in Rome. Alan?
Dallas, we're going to pause in a moment for station identification across the country, but first we have a message for our listeners and our affiliated stations. The CBS Radio Network will supply continuous programming throughout this evening and until 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. That is 11 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Mountain, and 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. This programming will consist entirely of news broadcasts and appropriate music. We will provide similar network programming tomorrow and Sunday. At the close of tonight's programming, we will notify our affiliated stations in greater detail of our plans for the weekend. We are now going to pause for 5 seconds for stations to identify themselves. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Studios, Minneapolis, St. Paul at 830 WCCO, 29 degrees.
Back at CBS News headquarters in New York, with our coverage of today's tragedy and the resulting events, Britain's Queen Elizabeth has sent a message of sympathy to Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy, saying, "I am so deeply distressed to learn of the tragic death of President Kennedy. My husband joins me in sending our heartfelt and sincere sympathy to you and to your family." The Queen also sent a message to President Lyndon Johnson, saying, "On behalf of my peoples, I send my sincere sympathy to the government and to the Congress and to the people of the United States of America." Britain's Prime Minister, Sir Alec Douglas Hume, sent a message to President Johnson saying, "On behalf of the British government, I extend to you and to the government of the United States of America our deepest sympathy in the terrible loss that you have sustained by the assassination of President Kennedy. He was greatly admired and loved by us all. I extend to you our assurance of friendship and support in the heavy burdens which have devolved upon you." The message from Britain's Prime Minister, Sir Alec Douglas Hume. Hundreds of people have flocked to the American Embassy and Grosvenor Square in London to pay tribute to the late president. Visitors were allowed into the main foyer, where many signed their names and addresses, adding such tributes as "with deepest sympathy" on paper provided on two desks. The crowd filed silently into the embassy building and stood patiently in line, just waiting for their turn to sign. Earlier, hundreds of telephone calls from Americans and others jammed the embassy switchboard following news of the assassination. The English Soccer League tonight asked all league clubs to observe 1 minute silence before tomorrow's league games as a mark of respect for President Kennedy. All players in the English Soccer League will wear black armbands and flags will be flown at half-mast. Yugoslavia's President Tito has telephoned the American Charge d'Affaires in Belgrade to express deep sympathy at the president's assassination. A head and shoulders portrait of the president appeared on Yugoslav TV screens as Yugoslavia's top commentator announced the death in an emotional voice. The Yugoslav government ordered national flags to be flown at half-mast on public buildings tomorrow and canceled all sports meetings and entertainments, including those of radio and television, as a mark of sympathy. And Belgrade radio switched from scheduled light music programs to solemn music, interrupted only by special news bulletins about the assassination. In Latin America, Venezuela's President Romulo Betancourt broke down, his eyes brimming with tears, as he spoke to reporters in Caracas about the president's assassination. Betancourt said he was a great friend and turned his head away at that point. Later, he went on to say, "Democrats of the world are in mourning." Here in New York, there is more reaction from the people on the street. Let's hear the story from news correspondent Bernard Eisman at Times Square.
The Great White Way dimmed its lights in honor of President Kennedy today. As evening approached, the giant advertising spectaculars at Light and Broadway flickered out. The movie houses closed their box offices and turned the bulbs out on their giant marquees, advertising classic and lurid pictures, but all in a welter of color that normally make this the brightest street in the world. The legitimate theaters in the side streets off Broadway, they too closed their box offices and doused the lights on their marquees. For the crowds along Broadway, usually jam-packed, elbow to elbow and knee to knee on Friday and Saturday nights, this was a night of being stunned. There are very few people along the street, and those there are carry newspapers, talk silently one to the other, or stop and listen to radios or watch television sets in those few stores that are still open. At the hot dog stands, they too have dimmed their lights, the little radios go, and people cluster about drinking a soft drink and listening to the details of this day of tragedy. Traffic along the street is very light. Few cars are seen moving. The rush and honking of cabs is gone. In fact, in more than an hour on the street, a strange silence prevailed. Not the honk of a horn was heard, not the curse of a cab driver, not the squeal of a tire. Just quiet. And that's Broadway tonight. This is Bernard Eisman in Times Square.
President Lyndon Johnson is in the White House, where he met first with Defense Secretary McNamara and then McGeorge Bundy, who was President Kennedy's special assistant on national security affairs. President Johnson has also scheduled a meeting for about this hour, or perhaps a few minutes from now, with key congressional leaders of both parties, leaders of both the House and the Senate. As the new president arrived back at the Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland just about an hour ago, he made a short, sad statement, saying, "This is a sad time for all people. We have suffered a loss that cannot be weighed. For me, it is a deep personal tragedy. I know the world shares the sorrow that Mrs. Kennedy and her family bear, And then the new president added, "I will do my best. That is all I can do. I ask your help and God's." And now the new president is in the White House conferring on the next steps to be taken as he assumes the highest office of the land.
Alan, the statement that the new president made reminds you of the statement that Harry Truman made when he succeeded to the presidency after the unexpected death of Franklin Roosevelt. The new president Truman said, "I feel as if the moon and the stars had fallen on me. I ask your help." He said that to the reporters. I suppose that it's an inevitable feeling at a time like this when the crushing responsibility of the president is thrust on you without warning, especially in circumstances so melodramatic and catastrophic as those today in Texas.
WCCO continues its coverage with these special announcements of memorial services and other church services this evening. This comes to you from the WCCO Radio Department of News and Public Affairs. A memorial service at Zion Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis, 8 o'clock this evening. A memorial service at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in New Ulm, 8 tonight. At 9 o'clock this evening, the Church of the Nativity in Bloomington will have a Requiem High Mass. The Roseville Lutheran Church in St. Paul, a prayer service tonight at 7. A Requiem High Mass at the Nativity of Mary Church in Bloomington, 9 tonight. The Grace Lutheran Church in St. Paul, a prayer service at 7:45. Grace University Church on the University campus, a memorial service at 7:30. Jehovah's Lutheran Church services at Central Lutheran School in St. Paul, 8 p.m. tonight. Memorial service at Grace Lutheran Church in Deep Haven, 7:30 tonight. A special service at the Golden Valley Methodist Church at 8:30 tonight. A Mass at the Nativity Catholic Church in Bloomington at 9 tonight. A joint Protestant memorial service in New Richmond, Wisconsin, at the United Protestant Church tonight at 8. St. Mark's Lutheran Church in North St. Paul, a prayer service at 8. St. David's Episcopal Church in Minnetonka Village, a service of Holy Communion at 8. Special memorial services tomorrow morning at Beaver Lake Lutheran Church in St. Paul. A prayer service at 7:30 tonight, St. John's Episcopal Church in South Minneapolis. Memorial services tonight at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Richfield at 8 p.m., Simpson Methodist Church in Minneapolis at 7:30, All Saints Lutheran Church in Minnetonka at 8 p.m., at the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis Park at 8 p.m., special services at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in South St. Paul at 7:30, a prayer service at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Matamidi at 7 p.m., at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in South St. Paul at 6:30, 7:30 this evening, prayer services at all of these Anoka churches: First Congregational, Zion Lutheran, First Methodist, Elim Baptist, Anoka Assembly of God, and Anoka Covenant Church. Special service at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Spring Lake Park at 8 p.m. The Methodist Church of Hudson, Wisconsin will be open for prayer and meditation tonight. The Hope Presbyterian Church in Richfield, a memorial service at 7:30. The Mount Carmel Lutheran Church in Northeast Minneapolis, a memorial service this evening at 8. 7 o'clock tonight, the Como Park Lutheran Church in St. Paul and St. Timothy's Lutheran Church in St. Paul will hold services. St. Mark's Church in St. Paul will have special memorial services at 8 tonight. St. Nicholas Episcopal Church in Richfield will have Requiem Holy Communion at 8:30 this evening. St. Michael's Ukrainian Orthodox Church in Northeast Minneapolis, a special service at 7, a memorial service at 7:30 at the Anoka Congregational Church. St. Peter's AME Church in South Minneapolis, a memorial service at 7:30. St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Edina, a memorial service at 7. At 8 tonight, a prayer service at Hope Lutheran Church in Nokomis Park. 7 tonight, a high requiem mass at St. Andrew's Church in Granite Falls, Minnesota. Holy Communion at the Episcopal Church of St. John the Evangelist in St. Paul at 7:30. A special service at Shalom Tabernacle in Minneapolis, 8 p.m. A memorial service at Knox Presbyterian Church in Minneapolis at 7:30. The Chapel Hills Congregational Church and the Colonial Church of Edina will hold a joint service of prayer at 7:30 tonight. A mission at 8 o'clock, then a Requiem High Mass at St. Gregory the Great in St. Paul. A memorial service at Mount Olivet Lutheran Church in Minneapolis at 7. A memorial service at St. Luke Presbyterian at Lake Minnetonka at 8. A high Requiem Mass at St. Victoria Church in Victoria at 8. A high Requiem Mass at the Church of the Resurrection in Minneapolis at 8. Just a few more A service of prayer at 7 this evening at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Minneapolis. Services until 8 tonight at Christ Methodist Church in St. Paul. A service at 8 at McAllister Presbyterian in St. Paul. A Mass for the Dead at St. Rose of Lima in St. Paul, 8:30. A memorial prayer service at the University Lutheran Church of Hope at 7. A memorial service and prayers at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in Roseville at 7. A special service at the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in St. Paul at 7:30. A memorial service at B'nai Abraham Synagogue in St. Louis Park at 8:15. A Requiem Mass at the Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park at 8. A Requiem Mass at St. Timothy's Church in Northeast Minneapolis at 8. Prayer service at Parker's Lake Methodist Church at 8 tonight. First Presbyterian Church of Stillwater will be open for prayers at 8 tonight. St. Peter's AME Church in Minneapolis will be open all evening for prayers. A Requiem Mass at the Church of St. John the Baptist of New Brighton at 8 p.m. and a memorial service at Temple Israel, 24th and Emerson Avenue South in Minneapolis at 8:15. Our CCO Twin City temperature is 28 degrees, a low tonight of 12 above, the high tomorrow 20, and the low tomorrow night 5 above. The forecast for the Twin Cities area, diminishing cloudiness and much colder tonight. Tomorrow fair and colder, occasional cloudiness and a little colder tomorrow night. Minnesota, diminishing cloudiness, much colder tonight, occasional snow in the northeast. However, the Highway Department says the driving conditions in northwestern Minnesota have improved after considerable blading and sanding. There are still icy spots. Motorists who plan to drive in the area of Crookston, Wadena, Bemidji, and Thief River Falls should be on constant alert. Studios, Minneapolis, St. Paul at 830. This is WCCO. We continue our reports of the events following the assassination of President Kennedy with more information from the CBS Radio Network. We join Alan Jackson at CBS headquarters in New York.